Hello and welcome to the May 23rd edition of the Laughing Plays Podcast. How you doing out there? My name today is Ryan Seacrest. Joining me today on my left are...
Annabee Kelly.
What the heck's his name?
Annabee Kelly.
Randy.
Randy, a.k.a. Captain John.
What up, me hearty dogs?
On my right is the lovely and talented and sober today, Paula.
No, I wouldn't be Kelly.
Okay,
the first idol and only true idol.
All right, you can be Kelly.
Thank you.
What is this, like the Protestant Reformation? The one true idol.
And that Yahoo across, excuse me, that Microsoft across, no, I guess they didn't. That Yahoo across from me is Simon Cowell, also known as Fanboy.
This sucks.
Podcast at laughingplace.com. Your accent, it was lacking today.
Too much time in the States.
Dolly good, bloody me hearty, God save the queen.
Podcast at laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408. Let us know what's on your mind. Let us know what you think about who won. Did David win?
Yeah, yes. David won. Yeah.
David won.
You know what I found out last night when I was doing research on the American Idol attraction? The two finalists are named David.
Really? You know, I think only one third of America knew that.
Where have you been?
Not watching American Idol.
Well, but it was all the headlines. Tonight, a David will win. Tonight, it's David, you know what? Versus David.
On my new searches, it didn't pop up until they announced that he was going to go to Walt Disney World.
Oh, okay.
Shocking. And why did American Idol have anything to do with Walt Disney World yesterday, fanboy?
Because Disney's purchasing News Corp.
That's big.
No.
That's big. You heard it here, folks. You heard it here first, folks.
Because Disney is building a fantastic new... experience, or is it
it's an experience.
The American Idol Experience attraction at the Walt Disney World Resort in Lake Buena Vista, Florida.
Which park? Is that going in Blizzard Beach?
It's going to Disney's Hollywood Studios. But not that... did you guys watch the castle thing?
The castle thing.
With Jordan Sparks, who I guess won last year?
Right?
Which I found out...
She won recent... I mean, I don't know
if it was last year. I think it was last
year. It had to be last year.
Okay, I don't know who she is, but she seems nice enough. She was at... they did a bit where they announced the attraction, and she's at the castle. So obviously the attraction is going to be built at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
So tell us a little bit about this attraction. Anybody? I know it's...
We can abbreviate it A-I-A-E, right? No, A-I-E-A. So
which,
it's like
which
that.
Is pronounced...
It's I-I-I.
Now we're fine.
But it reminds me of the caterpillar in A-I-O-E. That's what I thought of
Hopefully it'll disappear.
Oh, but you're not very excited about this, are
you? You know what I'm excited about?
He disappeared too, by the way.
Two people.
Because he transformed into a butterfly.
Two people did I'm Going to Disney World commercials this year. I want to see them fight it out, Manny Mano. David Cook and Eli Manning.
Mm.
I know you're not much of a sports fan. That's actually a closer fight than it sounds like.
Excuse me?
Oh, no picking on Eli.
No, Eli's got the dedication and the heart.
Sure.
And what does the other guy have?
He doesn't have a ring, which is kind of ironic.
Why?
I'm
so lost.
I don't get
it. Fanboy's in his own head today.
Yeah. No,
the American Idol thing, it sounds like a lot of fun. It sounds like they're still ironing out exactly what it will be, because currently the way it's explained is that throughout the day there will be several shows of it, like there has been traditionally in that theater, and that within each show there will be a winner, and at the end of the day, there'll be a contest where there'll be kind of a winner of the day. And that's the way it's been explained so far. And part of the experience will be that you are taken. The people who are participating in the contest itself are going to be offered kind of a makeover of sorts to help transform them into a pop star-esque individual.
I hear they're just going to be taken to Downtown Disney, go to Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, and get the Hannah Montana makeover.
That's called the pop star makeover.
They can
secret pop star makeover.
They can be a rock star.
This just in. DisneyWorld.com/idol, a website dedicated to the American Idol experience, actually has a little more background on what this attraction will be. Did you know, for example, there are three ways to participate?
Three?
You can watch.
Wow.
Sit in the audience and watch. Pretty much what watch means by definition. You can vote.
Wow.
Everyone in the audience will have their little interactive thingies where they can vote on the winners. Or you can sing. Meaning you can go up there and actually perform. And if you are the idol of the day and meet the three-page list of qualifications, you too will win the Dream Pass, which allows you a reserve spot at a real live American Idol audition.
Two questions. can I watch and vote? Or do I have to either vote and not watch?
In reading that, watch and vote did seem to be pretty much the same thing.
You got it all wrong. It's singing, and then you vote for yourself. That's how it works.
When you're singing, you can know who's going to win by just listening to the clicking sound in the background. Like,
do you remember like, familiar?
Very well.
I'm guessing the answer is B, since everybody started clicking on the little pad at the
And
back.
It's great that they're giving away Dream Passes just as the Year of a Million Dreams are ended.
Oh, is it really? When we were at Epcot the other day, Jimmy and I heard this dad mumbling under his breath. We didn't get to hear all of it, but the part we heard was, oh, those Year of a Million Dream banners. Wonder what year it'll be next year or something like that as you walk by.
The year of 365 Dream Idol Passes. You know what I'm looking forward to next year during the Christmas show when Regis Philbin is talking all about the American Idol Experience attraction and tossing it over to Ryan Seacrest at Disneyland.
Who almost didn't say the name of the attraction in question properly. He was like, the American Idol theme park experience.
I didn't watch American Idol because it's sort of...
I only watched the finale just so I'm, you know, kind of...
Did you watch the Jonas Brothers?
I did indeed.
Did they do a good job?
Eh.
What did you tell me earlier?
You
said something along the lines of, too bad the Jonas Brothers couldn't sing that day.
Because, you know, we saw them live and they sounded great. And then you think on, you know, TV and all the prep and everything, but...
But...
What now?
Following their performance, they were spotted at the Laker game, and specifically spotted with Selena Gomez and Brenda Song, sparking controversy because, see, one of them used to be dating Hannah Montana. I'm sorry, Miley Cyrus. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
Wow.
But
wait. There's three Jonas Brothers, and you only mentioned two girls. Was Paula there with them, too?
They didn't mention Paula.
Ryan Seacrest?
Because she was a Laker girl, so that would make sense.
Yeah. And Brenda is Brenda was wearing a Lakers jersey, and... Selena was not, and I don't even remember who they were playing.
Was she wearing something?
Yes.
Just not a Lakers.
Annie Leibovitz was there taking the picture. But I have a question. They spotted Selena Gomez and Brenda Song. Did they spot the trash can? Anybody?
There was no update on the trash can.
Oh, man, there's no trash can.
The trash can may have retired, gone out on top, you know? Like did a Jim Brown, left while he was number one.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, you know, how much, you know, trash he gets paid for being there. I mean, he does have a wonderful collection now.
Could you imagine how much more popular the American Idol finale could have been if the trash can was there?
It was a down year for American Idol, I heard, this year. Maybe that's a sign of things to come. Have we all seen the When You Wish Upon
It's a little more rocked out by than that, right?
True. Yeah.
David Cook
is more
he did
of
a better
rocky,
job.
Rock.
He did a better job than whoever sang it on Disney Mania 6. See it's right there, family.
Well, I want to know. So somewhere the other David, there's a recording of him singing When You Wish Upon a Star. So it'd be interesting to see.
Do you think this is a trend that'll continue where instead of just having sports stars, maybe, let's say, for example, the deal between Microsoft and Yahoo had consummated? Do you think Steve Ballmer... when you wish, can you see Steve Ballmer going, I'm going to Disney World?
No, but I can't see, what's the guy that looks like him that's on NFL? Terry Bradshaw do it. This isn't the first time that non-sports figures have performed the song.
Who
Santa Claus. Which is, brings us into our next topic.
Non-sports center, non-Close Your Ears Austria fictional characters.
Also, in 1990, they had some graduates from...
Dustin Hoffman?
1990, yeah. you tried to seduce me, Mr. Disney. They celebrated, and there's another one that I'm not remembering right now. But
so is this what's going to happen after the Oscars now? You just won Best Actor. What are you going to do next? I'm going to Disney World.
Shrek 4, you just won Best Animated Feature. What are you going to do next?
Don't even say those words. Shrek 4, I don't want to hear it.
Well, take 2010 off or whatever year it's coming out.
Ew. Direct video at least?
No.
Circle 7?
maybe even in, you know, DreamWorks Digital 3D.
Oh, here. How about this The next president.
Oh, whoa.
Oh, whoa, whoa.
What
insert
are you gonna
next
do
president
next?
Name here. You've just become president.
What are you going to do? I'm going to Disney World.
Which is ironic.
Because
he
they
is.
Really are. That's cool. Yeah, exactly. You can use that now as marketing. Come see the president at Walt Disney World.
Anyway.
Were their dreams come true?
Are they naming a president? Oh, you mean like... Oh, okay.
Oh, election. Yes. I'm speaking of the United States, not of
Dick
the...
Dick Cook, you ready? You ready?
Not about the Disney company. We still await a president.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because I know I'm not Mr. Business like Fanboy is over there. ABC and
You're
Fox...
You're party in the front back.
ABC and Fox are competitors, no?
Yes. In fact, in I was reading an article. Did you know...
Don't they consistently vie for the number four network? Ba-dum-boom. Go ahead.
I believe that's CBS and NBC. did you know that Disney's Hollywood studio celebrates all sorts of Disney brands, such as Playhouse Disney, Toy Story Mania, and Harbor Attack? But they also are proud to be home for other folks, like Indiana Jones, which is being promoted so heavily at the Hollywood studios, Star Tours, and the Twilight Zone.
And another property that's promoted heavily, heavily at Disney's Hollywood studios is the latest Narnia movie, Prince Caspian, right?
I hate Prince Caspian.
Next month.
Prepare to die.
Late next month is when he appears?
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't say that. He's appearing right now and in front of a
temporary
backdrop.
Thing.
Not a backdrop. That's what I was trying to come up with.
Originally
the word.
Used at the S Festival.
A backdrop. And they're redoing the previous Narnia exhibit next month.
I think we talked about this last podcast. But I just wanted to bring
up... So when Narnia is number four...
I wanted to bring up the topic of Narnia because the Chronicles of Narnia Prince Caspian... did make its debut last week. And three of the four podcasters did have the opportunity to see it.
It topped the box office, but disappointed expectations. It didn't meet expectations.
$56.6 million opening weekend, down about...
I think it was 18%, wasn't it, from the previous?
I was going to say 14.
Okay.
And apparently the, quote, industry experts were expecting it to beat last year's opening. But who cares about numbers? We don't care about numbers. We're Disney fans. Did we like the movie?
Liked it more before the box office numbers came out. I liked it. I liked it better than the original.
Because?
Is this better? I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say because it's not like when you start. It's not one of those movies you want to stop and think about. It's a fun action movie.
That pretty much is what it is when it comes down to it. It's like a Die Hard for 10-year-olds. The movie starts off with action, then they come to America for about 2 minutes, perhaps even England, and then 2 hours of almost nonstop action. It's one happening movie. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as nonstop action. The first half is very kind of. As I said to Fanboy and Doobie, who ironically, you know, we just kind of ran into each other by accident. It builds up. It's not just, you know, from the get go.
But you don't want. I mean, the best action movies are not nonstop action.
That's true.
Exactly.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
They're nonstop action once the action gets going.
Right.
Which is what this is. You're right. It had a good build up.
Yeah, it had a good build up.
A good action movie starts with an action sequence and then builds up and then crescendos and stays that way.
Yeah, it has a good first and third act with a second act that. Thank you for. You're welcome.
I didn't see the film because I'm not a big fan of violence.
There was almost no violence in it, unless you count
a heavy battle
swords
film.
And arrows.
And it's actually caught a lot of heat in the reviews I've read. A lot of them take it to task for the amount of violence, considering its PG rating. And I just wondered, since you guys actually saw the film, what'd you guys think? And it's a Disney film, so it's catching heat.
I would say I would probably rate it as a PG-13 film. But the thing is that even though there's excessive amounts of violence, it's filmed in such a way. It's not like there's blood or anything. There's no, you know, even like with Star Wars, you have limbs flying off and still a PG film. There's none of that really. There's just a lot of clashing.
Here's what I think is they have no profanity in any way, shape, or form. No suggestive dress. Nothing but a kiss, I think. No gore, no limbs flying off, no blood. And to make up for all that, they have as much violence as they can possibly have and still retain that PG rating.
So it's a fine line.
I think, you know, Dick Cook a couple years ago talked about Disney. It's okay for Disney movies to be intense. They're just not going to be graphic. They're not going to be – there's not going to be sexual overtones. There's not going to be – foul language. I mean, Pirates of the Caribbean are rated PG-13, but I don't think now a lot of people are going, how terrible Disney made those movies.
Honestly, I would actually say that Curse of the Black Pearl is a tamer film than Chronicles of Narnia 2 Prince Caspian,
in my opinion. It was for me, because I slept through it. But I have no problem with it being a Disney film whatsoever, nor Pirates. I mean, but that's a different question whether or not it was PG-13. It could have been a PG-13 Disney film, and I'd be perfectly
happy. I agree with you, and I think what's interesting about this is it was produced by Walden Media, and so they were contractually obligated by Disney to have a PG movie. Now, if it was solely produced by Disney, they probably would have had no problem making it a PG-13 movie. And, I mean, in the end, it was rated PG, so big whoop. But from the time that the contract was signed to the time to where we are now, Disney has expanded what they consider a Disney film. I don't think anyone at Disney would say Indiana Jones could not be a Disney film. But you know, it's interesting to see how that's evolved. They've cast a bigger net.
Real quick, scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the movie we're talking about next, and 10 being the original Pirates of the Caribbean. Captain?
What? I kind of lost your question.
Where do you rate this movie on a scale of 1 to 10?
I would rate Prince Caspian an 8. No, 9. A 9, I'd say.
Wow, that's high.
It's high.
That's higher than Toy Story Mania.
Yes, it is.
That's almost Banana Split level.
Fan I'm going to go with, because I don't do halvesies, so I'm going to go with an 8.
0.2?
No. I do 1/10. Would have been a 9 if they had the Easter Bunny.
But it did have a lot of Santa Claus.
Okay. That guy's not Santa Claus. Yeah, amazing. He's a son of a black dwarf from the north.
That's not Santa Claus?
No.
All right, I'm bumping down my rating right now then. It was going to be a 9. Find out that's not Santa Claus. We'll make it a 8.7142.
Repeating, right? The 2's repeating.
2 bar.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Didn't you guys see some interesting previews at this movie, which you didn't even bother to talk about when you got home?
No, we did not see any interesting previews.
Chihuahua.
However, we did see.
Chihuahua!
Oh, dude, don't kill my ears.
Chihuahua!
Now, fanboy,
Chihuahua.
You and I go to movies probably 30 times a year, which
Chihuahua.
Means we see maybe 200 trailers a year. If my math were better, I might even say about 100.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta. Do you count the number of times we saw Click?
Every first look. Every video first look. Have you seen a worse trailer? Have you seen a movie you were less interested in after seeing the teaser?
Yes.
Have
because
you
they did this kind of crazy thing at the beginning. They showed the Walt Disney Studios logo, which bumped it up.
What are we talking about, by the way?
Chihuahua!
Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
But also, have you ever seen a trailer that got such a flabbergasted reaction from the entire theater?
That's so true.
We were in like a full theater, and it was just like, what? People were like looking at each other, and it's like they were so confused.
I was doing the news update before starting the podcast, and I didn't get to read the article yet, but one of the headlines or one of the little clips that caught my eye that I'm going to have to look and see if I'll put it in the headlines is the line was, Salma Hayek, why did you sell out?
And Salma Hayek's in that?
She's one of the – I guess she's one of the voices of a chihuahua.
You know what's sad, though?
How come they didn't say what's the guy's name?
George Lopez.
How come they didn't say George Lopez, why did you sell out?
Drew Barrymore's in it, too.
Yep, Drew's in it as well.
And they picked Selma Hayek?
I'm not sure exactly what the article was going on to say. As I said, it was one of those things that I just clicked before we
ended
the start.
You know what's sad is it might be not awful.
No.
Oh, bite your tongue.
No, it might not be.
I've already decided this is awful.
You're still seeing it.
I know. Maybe it'll be like yesterday.
Maybe it'll be like the Stripes movie, Racing Stripes.
Oh, I was going to say, Bill Murray? You saw that?
No. Racing Stripes.
That's the fact, Jack.
You know what's weird is they show Machu Picchu, and they talk about how you know they're from Mexico, but Machu Picchu is not in Mexico. So, whoops.
Yep.
They show R2-D2?
But if you haven't seen this delightful trailer, you can find it. It's on YouTube and
Disney.com.
If you like CGI chihuahuas, then watch it.
Dancing.
You'll be a fan.
I went to Disney.com, and it was and before it, they had something about...
Wicked.
No, not Wicked. Come. Get Smart. No, it's just obvious, all the first looks. It was something very sedate. Like, I want to say...
Mamma Mia?
Club. Yeah, it was like a Disney Vacation Club ad. And then, you know, and it's just on in the background, and I'm going, and then... Do-do-do-do-do. Chihuahua. I was like, what? So it's on the, it was on the front page of Disney.com. So,
no, but you forgot to say the first look about Mamma Mia, though.
Mamma Mia.
If you had to see
Here
a movie.
I go again.
If Beverly Hills Chihuahua was not a Disney movie, which would you see first, that or Mamma Mia?
Taking out the Disney label.
But isn't, what's her name in that movie? That makes it me not allowed to see it. Steel Magnolia Lady.
Bette Midler?
No, not Bette Midler. Bette Midler.
Shirley MacLaine?
No.
Julia Roberts?
I'm trying to remember who's actually in this movie. What's her name? I don't remember her name. This is going to drive me crazy.
The one that she was in Devil Wears Prada, not Anne Hathaway.
Glenn Close?
No.
Anne Hathaway?
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep.
Not the same person as Glenn Close?
No.
No, Glenn Close
is
101 Dalmatians.
Glenn Close is Glenn Close, and Meryl Streep is the one
whose dingo ate her baby.
And who got beat up? No, who tried to beat up Michael Douglas?
Glenn Close.
Whose title I can't think of.
Glenn Close.
That would be Glenn Close, I think.
Cooks the Rabbit? That would be Glenn Close.
Yeah.
Yeah,
different.
Devil Wears Prada is Meryl Streep.
Okay, I got it.
Which one's Cruella?
Glenn Close.
Glenn Close.
So I can appreciate Glenn Close. He's also in Air Force One.
Okay.
With Harrison Ford.
As the president for a while because they think he's dead.
Right.
Spoiler alert for Austria.
No, that's
they
pretty early on.
They don't care. It's Air Force
on.
One.
It's pretty early on.
That's a great movie.
That's not a spoiler, really.
It's the second
what is the
best
name of that movie?
Harrison Ford. What movie?
Fatal Attraction.
Thank you very much.
Not to be confused with Basic Instinct, which I got those two confused all the time.
Not if you've seen them.
No. I plan on seeing neither of them.
I've not seen either one either.
I've seen one. I've seen enough of the other to know I would never get them confused.
Basic Instinct 2 is the one I saw. No, just kidding.
That's a mistake.
And you know what? You know what's funny about that? Nobody saw Basic Instinct 2.
And tonight we have tickets for Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones.
Superman.
Before we jump into Indy, I did want to...
Jump into Indy? That sounds...
Normally Indy jumps in, right? Isn't that what happens?
You know what I've been doing all day preparing for the movie? Standing on one foot.
See, I'm going to do something...
In a very loud tropical shirt.
I'm going to do something really interesting, and just for this movie, I'm going to wear a fedora. Oh,
just for this movie?
Just for this.
Like, shocking.
Last week, we talked a bit about this upcoming movie, and so someone wrote on the boards a message to me that I will read right now from Disney Dad, but not just any old Disney Dad.
Disney Dad.
Elias?
D-Y-Z-N-Y.
Oh, that's like...
Dad.
Celia.
Yeah, it's like a... Volicious dishes.
Chihuahua.
He's the talented artist.
He writes, "Hey LPP."
Yeah, you know me.
That's what he wrote. Still loving the podcast, but haven't been able to post due to teaching and grading responsibilities. Yada yada. Any old excuse. I added that part.
Hi.
I just had to comment on the last one.
Hope doobie, class is going well.
Doobie. You only got excited about Indiana Jones when you remembered that Shia LaBeouf was in it. That's like getting excited about Paris because it has a McDonald's, which it does, and I visited it, by the way. That's like getting excited about Critter Country because it has a poo ride instead of country bears. Once again, seriously, the greatest and most consistent, well-made film series of all time. You know, Raiders was nominated for Best Picture and probably should have won. Who remembers who beat it? Seriously, you know why the Star Wars prequels were a disappointment? No Han Solo. Guess what? Harrison Ford is in this one. Now a question for the captain and all of you. What does Tron have to do with Iron Man and bowling? Love you. Watch Raiders, newbie.
Tron, Iron Man, and bowling.
Both had their heydays in the 80s.
Iron Man?
No, Iron Man had his heyday like 3 weeks ago.
I'm kidding.
No idea.
What?
Well, there's Jeff Daniels, right, is in Tron, right? Is there any connection to Iron Man there?
Yeah, he's in Iron Man.
He is?
He plays the bad guy.
And does he bowl?
Is he in that movie?
He's in that movie with the bowling guy.
Yeah, the Farley? Okay.
Yeah.
Jeff Bridges.
See, I win, and I haven't seen any of those movies.
Jeff Bridges.
Thank you.
Not Jeff Daniels.
Thank you.
Oh,
there
I'm
you go.
With you.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Wrong name.
That's not Jeff Daniels.
My mistake. Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Jeff
anyway.
Jeff Bridges. Way to catch that, fanboy. Sorry about that, guys.
Disney Dad told me to watch Raiders, so I tried. I taped Raiders last week, wanted to give it a shot, made it about 45 minutes in, and that was that. So.
Don't you understand? It's like a radio to God.
You know what's weird? I'm watching it going, I've seen that scene before. Guy's running away from the ball. That's like at the show. And then they're in this marketplace, and there's this guy with the swords, and I'm like, all these people dressed up, and I'm like, this is like the show, and I'm looking for the guy on one foot and everything. It's all like the show.
Did you notice when the Indy had a pick between the Fountain of Youth, Earthly Riches, or Observatory of the Future?
What I noticed is they all pretty much look the same. It's just a matter of whether they had the scrim or you looked up kind of thing. Why are you looking at me like a crazy person, Rebecca?
Because you're nuts is why.
How long have you been going to the Indiana Jones adventure here? What's it called here? I don't even know. Thank you. How long have you been going to that here?
Approximately 11 epic years.
And you had no idea that it was pretty much a, you know, encapsulated version of the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Without Nazis.
I wondered why the ball was at the beginning.
No, there
like
are Nazis at the
end. No, but if you look at it, they're not swastikas.
Serious? But aren't they...
But everybody, you know,
I mean,
yes, but
they reenact the plane scene.
Yeah.
I didn't make it
to the plane scene.
Oh, my mom reads, when I was little, my mom would read the novelization of a film such as that before we go. And so she knew, don't look. So I've never seen that before.
What happens in the plane scene?
It's kind of icky.
You know, a man meets propeller.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not usually.
What's icky is the end of. Last Crusade, where the guy kind of ages.
Or what about the ending of Raiders of the Lost Ark, where everybody melts?
I didn't see that part either.
Yeah, that part.
I've still not ever seen that part. That was another one of those where my mom said, close your eyes.
for some reason, it oddly reminds me of the trucker from Pee-wee's Big Adventure at that part, because it's like weird claymation animation. It's like, come on.
Paul Rubens did...
The voice of Rex.
Which is produced by George Lucas. No kiss.
Who got the voice of a chihuahua?
Chihuahua! So there's a connection there. You figure it out.
Now, the LPP will be getting our chance to see Indiana Jones and what? The Temple of the Crystal Skull?
The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Not to be confused with the Temple of the Crystal Skull, which would be the Disney Sea attraction.
How could anyone ever confuse that?
And remember that National Treasures is not connected to the film National Treasure.
But one of our listeners...
And Haunted Mansion has no connection to the movie because Eddie Murphy isn't there.
They should, don't you think they should add him to the attraction like they did Johnny Depp?
No.
And maybe Don Knotts, too?
Don Knotts.
No.
I remember exactly what you're talking about.
He's the fish in the fishbowl.
Who's named Mr. Limpet, right?
Yep.
No, that's a good movie.
He's incredible.
It's incredible. Yeah.
not to be confused with The Incredibles, which have nothing to do with The Haunted Mansion.
But they have a connection to George Lucas because it's called an Omnidroid. So, you know, they had to get permission.
So it all comes back to George Lucas.
So it all goes back to George Lucas, really.
Chihuahua.
He's really... George Lucas is like the Kevin Bacon of our generation.
Doesn't he just rule the world?
Isn't George Lucas older than Kevin Bacon?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Sean Connery is older than Harrison Ford. No, okay.
He's not?
Well, he probably...
Sean Connery? Yeah.
Anyway, one of our listeners already has seen this film and decided to let us know his thoughts. So, Captain.
Spoiler alert, this table.
By the way, there's no spoilers.
What up, LPP? This is Joe up in Portland. It's about 2:30 Disneyland Resort time. I'm just calling. I got out of the Indiana Jones movie pretty late here, and I thought it was pretty cool. Something they should probably make a ride out of or like a stunt show. Anyway, see you guys later. Bye.
Oh, that's a great idea.
That is a cool idea. What do you think? Like a chill person from the audience come out?
I think that you should get in a Jeep and you should be going through a temple.
You know what's
in search of Indiana Jones. Like, he's disappeared there, and you, like, have to go find him.
You're like tourists looking for him.
Yeah.
You know what's a better idea?
What?
Is making a lame roller coaster, and then when you're cash-strapped and you have no capital, make it go backwards.
Isn't it more fun backwards? Haven't people said it's like a smoother ride backwards or
actually,
something?
I heard you get whiplash.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
No,
the other way around.
You go forward. No, I think it was just the same either way.
Oh.
It was like it's a pain. It's like the Windjammer of... Disneyland Paris.
Dude, Windjammer.
Wow, that's a bad ride. That's gone, right?
Yeah, Accelerator replaced it.
That was an evil ride.
Oh, man.
So we got another...
But nothing is as miserable as that simulator ride that we experienced at Busch Gardens.
Corkscrew Hill.
That is the roughest ride I've ever been on. I think my back is still recovering.
So, I was thinking the other day.
A needle pulling thread.
Dude.
Where's my car?
Just earlier, John and I took Happy for a walk, and he goes to me, so. And I go, a needle pulling thread. So we got this message posted on the discussion board. It reads, so I was thinking the other day about past trips to Disneyland I had had. And it got me thinking about what time in history, excuse me, what time in the history of my past visits to Disneyland did it seem the most magical? And why? And if I could go back to 1 year I had gone to back to Disneyland, 1994. Why? Because that's when I was young and when Disneyland truly seemed magical and real to me. Magical and real, that's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? I was young at the time, and it felt so amazing to be there. Plus, that's when a lot of the rides I loved that associate with my childhood were still around, such as the Skyway, the Country Bear, Swiss Family Treehouse, and the Submarine Voyage. I know it was an older time in the park, but for me, 1994 is older. That's just, I feel old. But for me, it was one of my favorite times in Disneyland history. What about you guys? What year? Where would you like to revisit? Or, I'm going to expand this a bit, visit for the first time if you want to go back even further than your birth. Let's start with you, Rebecca.
Oh, well, let's see. I'd go back to a time when you could park in the Disneyland parking lot in King Louis because you knew that the tram would stop there on the way to the hotel and you wouldn't have to wait in line as long when you're leaving the park.
The original AP trick.
You could walk down Main Street and enjoy a really tasty portobello mushroom sandwich at Carnation Cafe.
The original AP meal.
Or a scoop.
I thought that was ketchup package and relish.
or a scoop of Fantasia ice cream from the
banana,
ice cream
pistachio
place.
And cherry.
Then you could head on over and enjoy either the Billy Hill and the Hillbillies, or depending on the time of day, the Pocahontas show. Well, Spirit of Pocahontas.
Yes.
Or the festival arena hosting the Festival of Fools. Let's see. What else could you do?
You could see Rod Miller.
Yeah, at the Corner Cafe.
Apparently that was 97, so you could go see Light Magic.
This is 96.
No, this is 96.
Oh,
we're going back.
Main Street Electrical Parade.
You could see the Main Street Electrical Parade, and if you stayed late enough, you could see the parking lot light parade that followed it.
Now, this was the time when you could see the Lion King celebration.
Yep.
And it was quite a time. The subs were still around.
You could enjoy Casa Mexicana.
The Thunder Barbecue.
Mm-hmm. You could head over to the Monterey. You could head over to the hotels and do the Mary Poppins tea, I think. No, not yet.
No,
not yet. But Stromboli's was there. In the wintertime, you could go ice skating on the rink there at the Disneyland Hotel. Blue Bayou still served my absolute favorite dessert in the resort, which they no longer do.
Which was?
It was a chocolate pecan pie. I know they still have a chocolate pecan pie, but they changed the recipe.
That Fantasy Waters.
Yep,
yeah,
you can enjoy
that.
Fantasy Waters,
Captain
where you can
EO.
Still hear parts
Captain
of
EO.
King Captain EO.
Indy had already opened.
Mm-hmm. No. Oh, yes, 96. Yep. I thought you were talking about 94 again. I'm sorry.
So, really, I mean, the attraction mix to me seems pretty much on par to what it is today.
And if you needed exercise, you could go to the Starcade and play
air hockey, which we did.
Oh, yeah.
Many hours, many, many dollars.
And the entertainment far surpasses anything today. I think the only area where I would say today it's better is the fireworks. I mean, 96 was one killer year.
Okay,
that
so
must
let's
have cost him a lot
so,
of money.
So let's really confess the reality of what 96 was for us, and that it was the period of time that was like, I don't know, I would say our greatest obsession with the Disneyland theme park was probably about 96.
Certainly mine.
Yeah, that's when I met you.
Anyways.
I used to go to Disneyland. I would get off work around 5. I had a half-hour drive down there, so I'd get to the park. No, probably an hour drive down there. Get to the park around 6. Park would close during the summer, midnight, 1 a.m. So I'd stay probably till 10. I'd stay till 10 and then leave. And so I would be halfway decent for work the next day. I'd do that one day a week. And then Saturday and Sunday nights, I'd stay until park closed.
And beyond.
And on Sundays, I'd get there at park open and stay till park closed. And that pretty much lasted a year and a half, if not 2 years, mm-hmm. of just really solid. So the fact that there was all this variety aside from the attractions is why it was really, really cool time for me. Because now it's different to spend that much time there. I mean, we used to also bring board games and go hang out at Hungry Bear because it was still open and it wasn't very crowded. And so you could go there and get a table and play Uno or something off and not be in the guest way. And it's fun.
Now DCA and the Grand kind of serve those functions. But
well, you won't be in the guest way in DCA, period. So.
But yeah, that was really a magical time.
And if there was a sporting event, you could go to Neon Cactus, which I don't know how, but ended up being better sports bar than ESPN Zone.
True and weird.
Yep.
So the only other year I can think of that maybe even compares, and certainly not in what it had because it was so much earlier, but the excitement that people must have felt that year is 1967 with the opening of Pirates and all the World's Fair stuff that had just come.
Oh, see, I was going to say 1959.
Another great year with the subs and you know what I've always forgotten in 1969? 59?
Junior Autopia.
Yeah. Junior Autopia. The Junior Autopia.
You know what another year they opened up a lot of stuff was? 1955. Big year for them.
Only about 18 attractions, I think.
Yeah.
Not too bad, but still.
And, you know, they're counting the fire truck.
Yeah. Were they counting Holidayland?
It's just weird in thinking about this. It dawned on me that when we used to plan our family trips, we had to take into account that Disneyland was closed on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Like Wally World.
And that's, by the way, if you ever wondered why when you went to the park, you know, in later years, Rod Miller's schedule was working Wednesdays through Sunday, it was because he never bothered to start working those two other days. He'd always had them off, and he just kept that schedule when they changed the park.
The newsstand is there because people would show up and be like, oh, it's closed. So they built a little store there so you could at least buy some.
At least take their money.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm pretty sure we showed up one day and it was closed. I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty sure it happened to us once, or we just forgot.
Do you know if you had to pay for parking only to get in there and see it's closed and go to the newsstand?
Oh, that's funny. That would be funny to find out. We should contact the Disney Nomenclature blog.
Does anyone pay for parking?
I found out that Disney Dining Experience people do not have to pay to park at the Magic Kingdom after 5 p.m.
Yep.
Or before, if they go
together. I'm talking about following the rules strictly.
There's nothing against the rules.
See, this is the Florida annual pass holder trick. You know?
But is it to join the Disney Dining Experience? Don't you have to either be an annual pass holder
or a Florida resident?
Oh, okay, a Florida resident.
Captain, any particular year you'd like to see?
Oh, you already said in 1967 for the obvious reasons.
Yeah,
and you know I would probably go back to what you said earlier because I remember going to the park a bazillion trillion times in that time period as well.
Fanboy, I know you have not a sentimental bone in your body, but if you had to fake it, where would you go?
That's a good question. Part of me would like to go back to 1959 just to see the festivities and what they did. Part of me would like to go back to 1986, not just because what they had there, but just to see the excitement about the Disney decade. You know that
is so funny. That I should have said that before he started. I was gonna say my bet is when they were talking about Disney decade. But yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
With getting Star Tours coming and Captain EO and all that stuff happening. Because I mean honestly, one of my fondest memories, as I understand, 2000 was probably not the best in terms of, you know, a lot of stuff from the golden age of 90s. That's, I can't call that the golden age. That's pathetic. But that the period, right, the finale season of Electrical Parade, where you still had a lot of stuff going on. You know, there were some of the stuff missing and some of the stuff they brought back. I don't want to say that now that was the height of Disneydom, because I don't think it is. But the excitement of the resort expansion, the Grand Californian coming, Downtown Disney, the new park, even though some folks were sort of, you know, poo-pooing the new park, just the excitement of all the stuff that was involved in it. And it's kind of neat because I think you're getting a little bit of that now with the transformation of DCA.
Mm-hmm. You know, actually thinking about it, though, I really would want to go back to, you know, when Disneyland opened just so I could see this in person.
He's looking for a microphone. He looks all confused. If he ever gets a microphone, we'll be able to talk to him.
That's
so great.
What year did the Wizard of Bras close? Because I'd have to go before that closed.
That's so bizarre. So weird.
I bought tickets to that event, but they wouldn't let me over the ladder to get in.
Very funny.
Pretty sad. Another year, you mentioned 86. I want to go back to the 30-hour party in 87, because if I was a fan back then the way I was in 96, I would have been there for every one of those 30 hours.
I know you would have.
Remember when they were going to do that again for Finding Nemo, and they basically just said, oh, we're just going to stay open for everyone that can ride in line? Most... The Thrill of Victory, Agony of Defeat moment of 2007?
I remember. I was there. In my chair here.
And see, I'll answer for the Jonas Brothers, and they want to go to the year 3000.
Ba-dum-bum.
I wanna,
not much has changed.
I want to go to 2012.
But
that's
it's
be
all
a good
underwater.
Year.
What's happening in 2012?
I just get a feeling that all the stuff they're working on, both at Walt Disney World and Disneyland, 2012 will be a good time to
You'll be able to do like a 4-day land, 3-day sea package by then.
Disney Hollywood Studios will look very different, but I suspect will look, you know, rather different by then. And the Disney California Adventure Transformation will, you know, be mostly done, if not, you know, all. And
Epcot.
Hollywood Studios Epcot will look like look like the Kodak Theater by then, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then the cruise line, that expansion, you know, that'll start to have impact too, so...
It's easy.
That'd be
to,
cool.
When I think of Disneyland, I mean, I think all around, I think Disneyland was a better park in 1996 than it is today. As a
Disneyland
whole,
Park?
Disneyland Park, not the resort, and I much prefer the resort, but Disneyland Park itself was a better park in 96 than it is today. Thinking about the Magic Kingdom, I mean, I don't know its history as well, but is there a time in the Magic Kingdom's history when it was a better park than it is today?
Oh, yeah. I mean, before they got rid of the rat, I mean, a lot of the neat stuff, they... there's a lot of stuff that's still at Disneyland they got rid of. The Skyway, I mean, they got rid of there too, but the keel boats, the canoes, the
oh, yeah,
smaller...
Oh, yeah, we forgot to mention the keel boats were still going at Disneyland too.
The smaller attractions, I would say that the 25th anniversary was probably the highlight.
Especially the castle.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think... Because I think what happened was is then they started value engineering a lot of stuff and getting rid of some of that having pre-produced Christmas trees and things. And I understand that to a degree, but I think they probably moved the bar a little too far.
Do you think it's ebbing back yet?
I think it's ebbed back from the worst part of it. I don't know if it'll ever get back to where it was, but I think the Magic Kingdom has never been Disneyland, so I think right. I'm not expecting it to have a lot of that stuff anymore.
And there's also, I can't speak to this because I'm not the average guest, but there may also have been a transition in just what a guest expectations are, what they want to do, as opposed to before. I mean, because if you just look at the way people dressed going to the parks generations ago versus, you know, how they dress now or what types of things go on now versus then, you get the impression that there's a difference. And I don't know if that plays into the lack of some of the stuff we're talking about, too. That may not have been a plus. You know, it may not have been, unfortunately, worth the money, even from the guest perspective. Not purely, you know, fiscally, but, you know, value.
And to be fair, I think there's some things about the Magic Kingdom that have improved since then. I think...
Tomorrowland?
Since what year did I say, the 25th?
Yeah.
Oh, well, no, I think that was the new Tomorrowland era. It was brand new. But I think...
Are you talking Disneyland again?
No.
Oh, here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think like PhilharMagic was a great addition to the park. I think service-wise, I think the park has improved a lot since then.
You mean PhilharMagic's even better than the Lion King puppet show?
Oh, yes.
That was supposed to be a sarcastic wish.
Yes, it is much better, but I.
Well, and you have wishes, and you have.
For the record, I like the puppet show better than PhilharMagic.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I like Fantasy in the Sky better than Wishes.
You do.
You do?
Yeah, he does.
Wishes was the most disappointing show.
Yeah.
If I had never seen Believe and Wishes was my introduction to, you know, Fireworks 2.0, I might feel differently. But
well, and I mean, I like Believe more than I like Wishes, but Fantasy in the Sky, they didn't even used to turn off the lights in the park.
That was the cool part.
I loved
Fantasy. But you could get out easier.
I really enjoyed Fantasy.
Yeah, you could get out easier.
Especially I enjoyed the last rendition of it before they switched over to Wishes. When they did kind of a recap of it, it was almost like it was, to me, a step up before Remember. Because it was like, it was like a day at the park, and they recounted a lot of the things.
What was that for? They premiered that for, I want to say, there was some celebration.
Wasn't it part of that Magical?
No, that Magical Gatherings was Wishes.
Year of a Million Dreams?
No, that was after
that. The one before.
I want to say it was the Millennium Celebration.
Could be. They were kind of focusing on storytelling, I think, during that.
And placemaking. You know, they added the wishing well. They've added...
Make a wish into a well.
They added the Enchanted Grove Cottage Bells thing, whatever the official name of that is called.
Which is really sweet. I really need to go actually see Belle tell a story there sometime.
I think I've seen it one time from the back.
I stopped by during a Christmas party or a pirate and princess party. Oh, I just saw the most adorable pirate family when we were at Wilderness Lodge yesterday. they were heading to the party. It was very clear, and mom, dad, and little kid, the boy looked to be, I don't know, maybe five, and they were dressed to the nines. I mean, beautiful pirate outfits. I hope they had a good time. Unfortunately, the weather was nice, which is so unusual. Usually when it rains here, we all just figure it's a pirate and princess party night, because it seems to attract the rain.
So we were talking about Magic Kingdom, Disneyland, Disney World comparisons, and that brings us to our next topic. Recently, we were talking about Fantasmic.
Bam, 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 bam. Ba-da-dum, bum.
Wow.
Hey, that, look, it's Ursula. Awesome. Oh, wait, no.
Why is that tug pushing? we were talking about which one's better, Disneyland or Disney World. We threw that out to the people when we said we'd discuss it a bit ourselves. So, Rebecca, you want to read some of what the people got to say? We'll interject, and we will come to the conclusion of why Disney World has a far superior Fantasmic.
What? No, you're an idiot.
D-Land Doug talks about differences, and he says he finds that the Disneyland version is superior, but he's met Walt Disney World regulars who find the Disneyland version lacking because it has no seating, it has a lower audience capacity, it has no Pocahontas sequence.
That's right.
It lacks references to any film after Beauty and the Beast.
That's right.
The dragon is underwhelming,
to say the least.
Did they just meet you then?
The pyrotechnics are not as strong.
Crazy neighbors.
And Sorcerer Mickey just standing on the roof of the building on Tom Sawyer Island is not impressive to them.
I'm on a roof. Ooh, look at me.
So it's
look at me. I'm on top of scaffolding.
And he writes, so it's all in one's perspective. I believe we can all agree that Disneyland has a far superior river craft, and Florida has a better mountain for Mickey's grand appearance. But he uses a big word, which I don't know, apotheosis. Some prefer the bubble sequence with all the characters.
Okay, time out. As much as I like Magic Kingdom, I don't know anyone that prefers the bubble sequence.
He says, I find it overlong, but he apparently has met people who do. I like it.
They're big fans of Pirates of the Caribbean, too.
A little boat at the end of the Florida version is comical, but only if you're used to the Disneyland version. And if Florida's mountain wasn't quite so bare and they added a really spiffy boat at the end, I would almost be willing to give that version the edge.
Thank you, D-Land Doug, old buddy, old pal. Anyone else?
Well, there's some talk of, it's W.P. Heaney,
Sherman, 42 Wallaby Way, Sydney.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce the screen name, but talks about the fact that he finds it kind of strange that the Walt Disney World version, being the 2.0 version, doesn't plus on the original, that the little boat that comes around the corner is so small in comparison to the Mark Twain. So he doesn't feel kind of that. There isn't the same kind of wow factor that there was to the WDW show.
I got to agree with that. It is a great disappointment to me that the new version of Fantasmic and the new version of Believe, okay, I'll be honest here, both pale in comparison to the original versions. That should not be the case. I mean, let's face it, Disneyland Fantasmic is better than Disney World. There's no question. Believe it's better than Wishes. And that should not be the case for an attraction that came 2 or 3 years later than the original.
Tower of Terror, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Why is that? Why is the second version worse than the first?
Because it's a little bit longer and a little bit worse.
Then they make it up with the third one, and then, you know, because then you have, you know, Paris's Pirates, which is supposed to be, you know, a lot better than Florida's anyway.
That's true.
So it kind of goes like, you know, they kind of mess up the second time.
It's like
Star
Trek movies.
And they come back.
Except the opposite.
Is there an attraction that's open at Disney? Is there an attraction that's open at Disneyland and then Disney World, or vice versa, where the second version was definitely, where you could see they learned from it and they made a better second
Buzz
version?
Muppet Vision. From California Adventure, I would say Muppet Vision.
What's better about it there?
The animatronics are now outdated.
Okay.
And, you know, there's, you know, general queue line areas a little bit more polished.
Buzz Lightyear's, to me, the one where you can tell they learned something.
Okay.
Right. It's
you
different.
You get the guns.
Yeah, I mean, wow.
Yeah, Buzz Lightyear's
you know game. What your scores are, you buy the you know the target shapes and things like that.
And Mad Tea Party in California and Mad Tea Party here. They lured. It closed. You can't run it in the rain.
Which Splash opened first?
Disneyland.
Okay, I prefer Disney World's, actually. I think it's quite a bit better.
I do, but I don't know that I would say is maybe a taste thing. I don't know that you could. It's not like Fantasmic. Everyone's gonna say Disneyland's better.
Right.
But I agree with you there. And Jungle Cruise, I think, is better here.
I agree.
I would say in California. That's
Big Thunder.
For sure. Jungle Cruise in California.
Big Thunder opened first.
I guess you manage.
I disagree. Big Thunder open first in California?
Yes.
I would definitely agree it's better here.
I would be interested.
Especially the ending.
I would be interested to find out if the same people were involved in both projects, or if the people who birthed Fantasmic had moved on to other things, and then...
That's why they got a smaller boat next time.
But if they had moved on to other projects, and so the creation of it here was done differently.
Well, also, some people, I think sometimes when you copy something, you're trying to recreate it, and when you recreate it, it's not going to be as good, instead of trying to enhance it. You know, they did do things, like the pyrotechnics is better because they can in Hollywood. You're not going to blow up Team Disney if you do it, you know, like they do there, and but they just don't take advantage of the. To me, it's like they said, let's make Fantasmic here, and they didn't take advantage of anything they had there. They just, the fact that they're not in the middle of the park.
Well, it's kind of funny that Fantasmic out in California, I know lots of kids that it scared pretty bad because it's scary. It's a nightmare. I mean, it is.
Overwhelming nightmare.
And it's interesting to me that some of the more intense scary parts, the night on Bald Mountain sequence with that, that's gone. And
Pinocchio.
But I mean, okay, I'm sorry. They've lessened the intensity of the pacing. The Pink Elephant segment, which Pink Elephants was one of the films when I was little, terrified me when I was little.
Look out!
Because it's creepy and weird. But they got rid of that. And instead, they have this long sequence of bubbles with really, you know, they have this really pleasant...
So the kids fall asleep.
I'm saying is the pleasantness of it is longer than it is in California. In California, you have kind of this brief moment of dreamlike and then, ha-ha, nightmare. And so,
overwhelming nightmare.
And I just wonder if maybe there was a little too much of a reaction to the fact that, you know, it was kind of intense out in California. And I also think that maybe they were trying to bring it more up to date.
The thing is...
Accommodate more people's taste. Oh, Cinderella, throw her in so Cinderella fans will be happy. Oh, you know.
Well, the thing, though, is that the whole villain segment here is actually longer. So, like, what you're saying is, like, I mean, there's more good stuff, I guess, at the beginning.
Intense.
Because you've got, you know, the Jafar is, like, Ka is now Jafar here. And the whole, you know, the laughing, everybody knows the big laughing sequence at the end. It's just, it's kind of a mix.
Well,
and I think the intensity is part of the problem, is that it isn't as tense. Nor do I think it should be their primary concern is too intense. I think Disney has a right to be intense, and I think, you know, it's fairly obvious in their marketing. There's a dragon.
Oh, totally.
And
there's
villains, so I don't think anyone should be surprised. You know, it shouldn't be scary, but it can be intense.
Mm-hmm.
But, the Pink Elephants Parade is I can't tell you why, but it's one of my parts you're missing. The Chernobog part's just cool. The dragon is cool. That's the parts that people like. No one's ever going, you know what? I'm glad they didn't cut the flower segment from the Disney World version.
I actually really, really enjoy the flower segment.
I do, too, but I think
more than Pinocchio.
We have the flowers here, though.
Yep, we do.
We do. No, that's what I'm saying. I think more people like the Pink Elephant segment than they do the flower segment.
Though I really think the show's true downfall is that the main icon looks like a big baked potato.
Well, also, if you get there, you know, on summer days and you look at it before it's nighttime.
Yeah, that doesn't help at all.
That's the hardest. I think that's one of the harder things it has to overcome is that
it's not particularly glamorous.
But Rivers of America doesn't look like a stage. I mean, at Disneyland, when you're there, it's like, wow. And then all of a sudden a show erupts there.
Especially when you were there.
It's part of the cool factor.
You were there on that stage, not even knowing it's a stage. That's just
there's a magic to that.
That's exactly it. That's Disneyland doing magic.
Mm-hmm.
Fantasmic might be, in the history of besides going to the parks for the first time, going to Epcot or whatever the first time, Fantasmic was probably the number one thing I was most anticipating seeing. And it did not disappoint.
No, it's amazing.
And I remember getting there like 3-4 hours early and watching – we stood right by the light tower on the hub side and watching them pull this light tower from the bowels of Disneyland. And you're like, holy moly. You know, and, you know, you're talking to the tech and he's like, yeah. You know, and he's like – he says, oh, yeah, let me show you how many 500 million colors it can do. And you're looking at it and this is crazy. This is awesome.
I never thought about this before, but Fantasmic could be the reason I'm an annual pass holder. Because when I went on Memorial Day back in 1995, we just, you know, went about our day and had no idea what Fantasmic was. I wasn't a Disney fan, and I just was over in the area eating, I think, at Cafe Orleans when it was playing, going, hey, this actually looks pretty cool, and trying to stand up and see it and thinking, I need to come back and see this for real, and got an annual pass.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
Cool. I mean, I remember the commercials.
You should be a big Fantasmic fan.
The commercials basically just showed the marquee and the dragon, and you're like, and there was something about that, Mickey battling the dragon, and, you know, at nighttime, the rivers of what is it? The Rivers Night Ignite or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're just like, wow, that was probably the most, I mean, like when Toontown opened, that was, you know, I was looking forward to it, but I wasn't, you know, woohoo, the sun is going to go ride the teacups. But perhaps only if I was alive during what's gotten into the Matterhorn might have been excited.
The thing that for me that had that same feeling where the marketing of it just got me so excited and I was so glad I wasn't disappointed was the Light Magic fiber optic.
Yeah. Light Magic had the most most exciting promotions.
Mine was the screensaver.
Well, that's
New Tomorrowland for me was the media disc that had the virus on it. It got me so hyped up for it.
Oh, that was so sad. I felt so bad for Disneyland. They sent out a media disc, and it was carrying some sort of virus. And, that was embarrassing. I felt bad. Maybe Fantasmic would be better here if Michael Eisner had let them have Mickey walk on water like they were talking about, or so the story goes.
I think you'd...
Yeah.
That sounds kind of creepy.
There are all these stories about that all over the place. I don't know if it's true or not.
It's true. The mechanics are there. They just don't use it.
Oh, yeah.
I hope that they got rid of the mechanics.
They're still there from what I know.
Oh, that's a funny
thought. I've heard they're still there.
So before we pop over to the department section of our podcast, i.e. the challenge and the myth, let's hear something a little bit different. Hi, LP Podcaster. Your last show inspired this from me. So let's hear this from Big Brian.
Doot, doot, doot. LP, you're the Disney fan cast crew fab four. Some weeks there's fewer, others there's more. You have a show that will never me snow. After Doobie's great intro, I think it won't be long, I know, till his favorite part of the show, Popcorn Churro. Boy, has business inside is hard to be. Captain's challenge is a retreat. How Rebecca retains her sanity, I don't see, with such a crazy group of guys. Still, it makes me realize sharing this fun with friends must be a prize. That's no lie.
I'd like to declare that the best voicemail we've ever received.
Let it be written.
So let it be done.
I can't wait to see the movie.
That was so awesome.
Thank you, Big Brian. Send one of those.
I laughed so hard I cried. That was awesome.
Any old time. So, Captain.
And no, I'm not sane anymore.
No, that's for sure. And that's Fanboy's fault, by the way.
What?
No, I'm like the distraction to prevent.
You're like the impeditif. I have no idea. Captain, it's your turn.
People are so weird.
You have no idea.
Yay, the song's back.
What will you do if a drunken sailor? What will you do if a drunken sailor?
Sing like a girl.
What will you do if a drunken sailor early in? I'm practicing for the American Idol wow wow attack.
Keep practicing.
Chihuahua! No,
this is quite the musical show. All right, the song's over. Time for the fun. Last time I asked Qui-Gon Jinn and Aslan the Lion have something in common. And this all goes back to George Lucas again.
Chihuahua.
So George Lucas and music are tying these things together.
John Williams.
No. Anybody else?
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson is the voice of Aslan the
Oscar
Lion.
Oscar Schindler.
Yes. He played also Oscar played Schindler. Role.
I was going to say Dame Judi Dench.
She's not that dense.
That's her name in the James Bond movies.
Remember we saw The Queen?
Yeah, that's not Judi Dench. That was Helen Mirren.
Is there a difference? That's like saying there's a difference between Meryl Streep and Glenn Close. Anyway, Captain, this is your part of the show.
Anyway, so now that with all the... Who won this, okay? Miss Diotheo posted.
Yay.
Right?
Yay for the women. Girl power. Woohoo!
But however, you know, it says that actually Diotheo was said the answer, but yet, you know, Diotheo could
possible?
Be... But he could be, you know, sneaking in and posting under different names.
I've never posted as Rebecca. She's never posted as me.
Okay, we have.
I think full credit goes to Mrs. Diotheo.
So I think that's how Miss Diotheo shall be getting the Captain's Challenge, the coveted Captain's Challenge
point. We're really giving the point to Mrs. Diotheo?
She got it.
Oh, that's funny.
It's like it doesn't matter who bought the lottery ticket.
By the way, here's a tip in case you guys are, you know, Diotheo really did post this. Before you click post, there's a little thing that said, you are posting as. I put that there just for people who share computers.
Or people that have multiple screens.
Shh. That's not officially permitted.
That's not
even though I do. But it's my website.
So do I.
I am Doobie and admin.
I hate to know that my real name is not Fanboy.
But do you post as your real name?
Sometimes.
Wow. Okay.
Well, not as my real name, as my normal screen name.
Do you post as Fanboy?
Yeah.
Wow.
In reaction to
Fanboy's blog.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Who do
point.
You think responds to Fanboy's blog?
Otherwise,
in other words, you post as Magnet as well.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, anyway.
Anyway. With all the Indiana Jones hoopla.
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 Hoop nanny.
With all that stuff going on, I thought
it's
I'd ask
a... In here.
It's not Monday night.
Getting a little rowdy.
I hear it. Disneyland.
So Indiana Jones. Here's the Indiana Jones adventure question for you.
Okay, Ija.
Which area of the parking lot was Indiana Jones' adventure primarily built on? Indiana
Paradise Jones. Pier.
Winnie the Blinkin' Pooh.
That would be Paradise Pier.
Touche.
And also...
Timon, Simba, Zazu.
All right, pay attention, folks. This is something
This
new.
Is where it gets really interesting because last time I thought I'd try something different, and I wanted you, the listener, to send in questions to us and see if we could answer them.
Stump the Schwab.
So we already had the Tron and bowling one. So
we think we got that right, but you'll let us know for sure.
Yeah, please do.
These we know the answers, but not right now we don't.
Right. So
they sent the question and answer in different emails, so I've looked at the question, we've not looked at the answer.
Okay.
So magic.
But we might know the answer because we know the answer.
We'll find out.
Exactly. Okay. So Magic 0214 is trying to stump the podcast. I have two questions to ask. The first answer is on the top of the next email. Okay, so don't open it yet.
It's not open.
It's not open. What hotel was the first real Disney value resort?
Bing.
I think I know, too.
All right.
What do you think?
All-Star Sports.
Doobie, what do you say?
I would say Sports and Music. I didn't know they didn't open at the same time. So.
Okay. And
it wasn't the Disney Inn?
What's that? The Shades of Green?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Is that considered value?
I don't know.
Well, it depends. How do you define that? Do you mean Disney calls it value, or do you mean it is a value?
It's whatever Magic 20214 says.
I don't know, when he said that, the first thing that popped into my mind was the Disney Inn.
Because the first official Disney value resort was All-Star Sports.
Okay.
Well, we'll see what Magic says.
All right. And
we'll probably all be wrong.
He has one more question, so we'll totally read the next question before we go look up the answer.
And the second one was, what year did Tron celebrate its fifth anniversary?
5 years after it came out.
1988.
I'm going to guess 1988.
I haven't a clue in the world.
I really
me
don't,
either,
don't know.
No,
we don't really know.
No
okay, so,
Doobie,
right. There's your cue.
All right, we're back here with answers. I will take the second part first. 1987.
Ooh. Oh, you were close.
Yeah,
but I celebrated for a whole year.
I just copied what Fanboy said, which is stupid. I should have just gone 1 year either way.
Yep.
And according to Magic, the Disney Inn.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, the woman is smart.
The woman is beyond smart. She
married
me.
Yay! Yay for me. Jury's still out on that, but apparently fanboy thing.
Thanks so much for sending that in. Captain, that was your idea last week. I really enjoyed
that.
That was fun. So, PlenityAndPodcast.com. Please make sure to send the questions in one email, the answer in another.
So we don't, you know, see the answers while we're reading
the questions. First.
Send the questions first. Put the question and answer in the subject would help a lot. The ones we received this week were absolutely perfect. We'll be back with that last week because we enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. That was fun. Yay.
And Rebecca got it right, and no one else got the other one right, so I think Rebecca's in the lead.
Not bad.
Yay.
For tourists.
Dun, 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 dun.
49ers. So what's your first thought when you hear that? What's your first thought when you hear that line?
This one?
Not bad for tourists.
I just picture some guy.
Oh, my first thought
this is
left
is
to
radio.
Right. Left to right. Left, left, left.
Oh,
left,
of course. Left, of course.
Left, left, I have a question for Doobie.
Of course.
For those of you at home, Doobie in his excitement leaned forward and hit himself in the face with a microphone.
Do you know that the ball he's standing in front of is supposed to be the wreck of the ball that was rolling towards you?
I still don't understand that plot point.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
You're supposed to have gone...
What do I think? There's two balls in this thing?
You're supposed to have, you know, gone under the ball and turned around again to be where you were. Like I never got it either.
I don't
but
understand. That's one point of the story that I always get lost. I'm like, the ball is rolling to me. I've gone under the ball.
And now you're
I
turning
go
around.
I around the corner, and there it
but
is.
But you're turning around the corner, and you're where you were a second ago is the point,
you know,
I guess.
You know, one of my first AP moments was when I'm sitting there, and then I start backing up, and then I look behind me and realize I'm not backing up.
Right.
Spoiler alert, Austria.
Oh, sorry, Austria. Damn. Austria, will you move to the Western Hemisphere, and I can stop worrying about such things?
But you know that that's what you think. As soon as
no, you're
as
absolutely
soon as
right.
Animatronic says,
forget that.
The tourists, you're thinking.
As soon as we
left,
go under the ball,
left,
the first
left,
thing I'm thinking is left,
come
left,
on, left. Because then you don't have to go back up the stairs to exit. You can just exit.
Exactly. And then because of FastPass, how the line is like way out there now, you can easily just duck under and get back in.
Oh, stop.
Just kidding.
We joked around about how that doesn't happen.
Where did I put my light bulb?
Oh. Don't even get me started on the light bulbs in that queue.
Don't get me. You know they're powered by the generator outside.
Damn. That's why they fluctuate.
Is that a fanboy Disney myth?
Yes, but not today's.
You should do that sometime. What is today's? But before you start.
Bum, ba, da, dun, dun,
no,
I'm
supposed to say Indiana Jones.
Superman. Indiana. I don't know if it still is, but when I was living in San Francisco, the 49ers fight song was 49ers, 49, 49ers, 49ers. So when they were winning all those Super Bowls, that was always on the radio. Moving on.
You're from San Francisco?
Yes.
Okay.
See, it says it right here.
and he's showing us his tattoo on his back, like made it.
No, that says copyright Disney.
You are fake. You're the original Wally robot, aren't you?
Took off his shoe, showed us it stamped on his foot.
All right, fanboy, enlighten us with your falsehoods.
Oh, that's mean. Enlighten us with your falsehoods.
Yeah, he does myths.
Oh, okay. I thought he was sharing falsehoods as opposed to debunking.
They're real
you
and they're
tomato,
beautiful.
I say tomato.
When literary people go to the movie that is based off of a book, what do they always say?
The book was better?
Yes. I would like to point to several Disney movies that are based off of books that the movie was better.
Beginning with?
The Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian, which I read last week. Movie's better.
Okay.
Mary Poppins. Movie's better.
B.L. Travers.
Yes.
C.S. Lewis. Does Disney only make movies where the first two words are abbreviated?
Well, J.K. Rowling.
Winnie the Pooh.
Got and went to Warner Brothers.
A.A. Milne. Is the movie better?
Yes, actually. I couldn't get through. It's bad when you can't get through Winnie the Pooh.
How about Alice in Wonderland?
Yeah, I liked Alice in Wonderland better, but I think that's just because the Disney one is so it's such a mesh of the two stories. And
no, I'm not saying the Disney the movie's always better, but the book is not.
Oh,
always
most of the
better.
Time, okay. And they are though. And I tried to read. I remember this because in school you would see the movie and then you'd be like, "Oh, I should go read the book. So I tried to read Bambi. I couldn't do it.
Bambi's a book?
Yes. Yes, honey.
What about 101 Dalmatians? Is that a better book?
Oh, no. 101 Dalmatians is a much better movie.
Now, do you know, is Mother Carey's Chickens a better movie? Or was Cyber Magic better? I'm not sure.
Or there's a third option.
Song of the South. What book was that based on?
Oh, those are hard to read, though, because of the colloquial English used in them. The Uncle Remus tales, those can be tough to get through.
Okay, in that version, the attraction was better.
You know what? I have to read them out loud. Another one, and it's not Disney, was Secret of Nim. Wasn't that a book first?
Yeah, that movie was better.
I want your prediction.
Mrs. Brigsby and the Rats of Nim or something.
The National Institute of Mental Health.
1906, going to be a better book or movie?
Better movie.
Okay.
I've read the book.
I know. That's why I asked. Are you still mything or are you done?
No, but I hope, because I've read all the Chronicles of Narnia when we made this deal, and I was kind of a little worried because some of the books aren't that good. So I hope they continue making good movies out of bad books.
Will they continue after the performance of this one, do you
well,
think?
They're already making it.
Yeah, they're already making it.
Okay.
Better.
Well, that's right.
To be perfectly honest, it's not like this movie bombed.
It's not making
like $10 million. It's not Speed Racer. It's, you know, I mean, Speed Racer did so bad, Warner Brothers had to sell off Cable.
Do you think it'll have leggies?
Well, it's got a cinema score, like a rating of people that went to see the movie of A. So, and not that's A as in like school grades, not A as in tickets.
Didn't Walter solve a lot of problems by just calling the best rides A tickets?
It's a real A ticket ride. It would have been weird when they had to add it, though, later on.
Wait, that's A, B, and C, and then double A, like the credit rating agency. Yeah.
Triple A minus.
Speaking of which, we were watching Angels Baseball the other day, and they were telling kids if you join the Angels Baseball fan club that you get a Angels Fast Pass. And so you get to, like, a head of the line for running the bases at the end of the game, and they called it a Fast Pass.
Wow. That's
without a TM or anything.
No.
So Disney has coined another term.
Well, I'm wondering if that's going to become now, you know, language.
It's like how every theme park area is a land,
or Kleenex.
No matter whether or not it's, no matter what it is.
Xerox.
Those are the trifecta.
TiVo. Yogurt.
Never mind.
Yogurt? No.
From Spaceballs?
All right, podcast11place.com. This was a fun show, guys. I just want to say that. 866-718-9408. Before we shut it down and move on to...
Da-da-da-da!
Indiana Jones.
I might. You're going to bring your fedora?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to bring my whip.
I'm going to bring my snake.
Let's get some final words of wisdom from the assembled masses. Bye-bye. Let's start with you, Captain.
Have you recovered from the closure of VMK?
Have I recovered from the closure of VMK? Yes, being I never played VMK ever.
You never opened it.
Are you ready for all the people from VMK to come invade your pirate's lair for 30 days because they get a free usage if they use their VMK screen name?
And Family Fun Magazine.
Is that magazine? Has anyone paid for that magazine?
We still don't get it.
So all 10 of them are going to show up?
Ooh,
low blow.
Ouch.
I don't get it.
VMK.
That's how many showed up to the
rally.
Approximately. Give or take. Two.
And take.
Give and take. Mostly take. Yeah, I've just been pillaging and plundering. Not much I would say on the air.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Astray.
Hey, I'm a pirate. That's what I do.
You excited about the indie stuff coming to Disneyland? I know you may not see it, but just the concept of all this new indie stuff at Disneyland.
Indie is inherently cool, so yes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I was at my other enterprise today, and I was telling everybody, it is impossible to be a boy and not enjoy Indiana Jones.
So Doobie is clearly, you know, his own kind of entity.
He likes princesses.
I hear a pirate and princess doesn't fly.
That'd be funny. Pirates, princesses, and Indiana Jones.
You know what I'm disappointed, though? I'm disappointed that the studios, Disneyland's marketing it. The studios is doing nothing.
No, I agree. It's very odd.
It's very strange.
Studios doing nothing. Indie.
Disney marketing was bad.
Because
I wonder, it's probably comes down to that whole...
They're making George Lucas sad.
that whole mixed Chihuahua. Message thing. You know, they like to pick a message and stick with it. Right now, Toy Story Mania is the message, even though the attraction is Toy Story Midway Mania.
But isn't there a similar message at the Disneyland Resort?
Oh, good point. Touché.
And I would hate for them to distract people from Toy Story Midway Mania with announcing another attraction that might be opening in January 2008.
Oh, even better point.
Or even nine. Fanboy, what about you?
Good point. Fiscal. No, still fiscal. No.
Nice try.
I picked up two new Disney CDs.
Which together are not as good as Faith, Trust, and Pixie Dust.
Disney's?
Yes.
Disney's Block Party and Disney Mania.
Not to be confused with Block Party.
No, see, Block Party has Davy Crockett in space, though.
That's
that automatically makes it win.
Why is Wayne Brady on the cover?
Because he sings the Tiki 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 Room. He even makes some of the bad Wally Bogue jokes.
Yeah, that is a fun track.
It is a fun track. It was Block Party. It has nothing to do with Block Party. The parade I would have thought.
No.
Mickey Mouse Club March by Ralph's World. Gotta love it. Under the Sea by the Doodle Bops. Ballad of Davy Crockett in Outer Space by my favorite children recording group. They Might Be Giants. I Want to Be Like You. Imagination Movers. Okay. Zippity Doodah by Johnny and the Sprites. Jolly Holiday by Dan Zanes.
I heard Zippity Doodah by Johnny and the Sprites. Really strange.
Yes, it is. Let's Go Fly a Kite by
Mickey
who?
And Goofy.
Who?
Mickey and Goofy.
Oh.
I loved that. It was awesome. It was
Can
perfect.
You Feel the Love Tonight with Choo Choo Soul with Genevieve?
Yeah, that's okay.
I hope. You can't feel the love alone.
It's like Take It or Leave It.
Chim Chim Cheree by Kay Hanley.
That was okay.
Yeah.
You've Got a Friend in Me, Ooh and Ah, which was...
That was not... Well, first of all, I didn't know who Ooh and Ah were, so I was a little confused.
They're monkeys.
But it actually wasn't that bad.
Well, it's funny because he goes, we're friends and we're brothers. We're like frothers. And then the other one goes, or brother or friends. like telling the other monkey that that's just a stupid thing to say, which was very
that was not
a Playhouse Disney.
That was not a bad try.
The Bare Necessities by Gwendolyn and the Good Time Gang. And Lavender Blue, Dilly Dilly by The Wiggles.
What can you do with Lavender Blue? Yeah.
It's The Wiggles. It's not good.
And then I also, I enjoyed the CD very much as a whole.
Us too. I would say we enjoyed the tracks.
In fact, if you
more.
Take two of these CDs, pick select tracks and make one CD, you got a good CD.
Yep, I'd agree.
If I Didn't Have You is on Disney Mania 6 as performed by Mitchell Musso and Emily Osment.
That was okay. They're overproduced. I mean, I get the impression that maybe they don't have the strongest singing voices, so it's kind of that Annette Funicello multi-layering.
But you know what's nice is the music video.
No, I haven't seen it.
Which is on Disney.com, too, I think.
Yeah,
and
the
chemistry between the two of them is really nice.
Aww.
It's a good thing because the filming started today for
Hannah
Montana movie. That's how you, which is probably why she wasn't at the Laker game, because it's filming in Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's how you
you're
know.
You're the only 10 I see, honey.
Thank you. That's very sweet.
Did you see the episode with Brooke Shields?
Yeah, I did. It was kind of odd.
Yeah. It was like Back to the Future, except no rock and roll.
Yeah, but it was a good episode. I'm sad to hear that her ratings are down, though, the Hannah Montana.
Oh.
But they aren't sure. They thought maybe it might be kind of writer strike, like people kind of forgot about it, and it'll come back.
That's How You Know by Demi Lovato, which we saw at...
She oversings.
It's a good song, not done particularly well.
No, but it's a good song. I like her persona, but it's just I feel like she's yelling.
Here's something ironic.
You remember her, Captain?
Unfortunately.
Someday My Prince Will Come by the Cheetah Girls, who I believe made a song about how they don't want to be like Cinderella waiting for her prince to come.
Now they've gotten a little older. I must say
I know it's from Snow White, but that's what they say in the song.
That is perhaps the worst track on the CD.
Oh, yeah, it is. Kiss the Girl by Colby Calais, maybe. Sure.
Blah, 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 blah.
Cruella de Vil by Selena Gomez, which
that's
I enjoy.
A fun little one, and it's all over Radio Disney.
Real
and
Gone
Pirate
by
Princess Parties.
Real Gone by Billy Ray Cyrus.
I fast forwarded to that one because that one doesn't really count in my book.
It's kind of like the same song as they sing in the movie.
Yeah.
Can You Feel the Love Tonight by Elliot Yameen? Yeah, not so much.
No, that was unpleasant.
He Lives in You by Elijah Kelly.
That was okay.
It's a good song. So.
Heavy rhythm.
You'll Be in My Heart by Drew Seeley.
Who's Drew Seeley?
He's the singing voice for Troy Bolton and Zach.
Gotcha.
Oh, that's why I knew
High School Musical
name.
1.
Okay.
When You Wish Upon a Star by Kate Vogel.
Who's she?
I don't know, but...
I did not care for that version at
either.
All. Oh,
Reflection
boy.
By Kiki Palmer.
Is that the girl from High School Musical?
Kiki Palmer is the one from Jump In.
Yeah, she's from Jump In.
And Kill It and the Bee.
Yeah.
When I See an Elephant Fly by Plain White Tees.
That's a fun track.
That was terrific.
That's the second highlight of that CD.
That was one of those tracks where it's like you got a flavor of who the group was, but yet they were singing a song that was familiar. And they did it really well. I enjoyed it.
Ever After After by Jordan Pruitt, which sounded exactly like Ever After After as Carrie by Carrie Underwood.
And not as well, so I fast-forwarded.
My Strongest Suit by Casey Stroke, which is the only time I've ever heard the word negligee on a Disney CD outside of Wizard of Bras.
Who's Casey Stroke?
She's the dancer in High School Musical. She's the one who wants to dance. She sings about that.
That was my favorite track on that CD.
Yeah, she has a great little voice. I hope that.
But big ideas.
I hope that the fact that she's on this album may be an indication that they want to use her voice more. So maybe, you know, if this track does well, if it gets picked up by Radio Disney or something, maybe we'll see more of her. I really like her persona. Seen her in like red carpet interviews and whatnot, and her voice was really sweet. So hopefully.
Nice. And finally, A Dream Is a Wish Your Heart Makes by Nikki Blonsky. From
try saying that name three times fast.
Nikki Blonsky.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, thank you for the latest Disney Channel update.
Oh, yeah. And I listen to him as I play my D-Gamer.
Oh, very
on
cool.
Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian video game on my Nintendo DS. Thank you for the write-off.
And the new and those two CDs can also now are they part of the playlist on Laughing
they
Place
are,
Radio?
They are, along with Carrie Butler's Faith Trust and Pixie Dust.
And the and three tracks from Toy Story the Musical, which is exclusively aboard the Disney Wonder at this time.
Cruise ship.
Yep.
The cruise ship.
So we've got those.
It's
if
such
you
a
listen
pretty
to
ship.
Laughing Place Radio, you can hear those songs.
Laughingplace.com/radio.
I want to commandeer a cruise ship. That's what I want to do.
Rebecca, I believe it is your turn if you can stop your giggling over there.
I recently read an article about a writer decided that he would try and do four parks in one day without a car.
Strangely enough, there were DCA, Disneyland, Tokyo, and Paris.
No. And it was very cute because they had a quote from Charles Stovall, who's one of the media reps here. And he said that it was not something that they recommended. I just thought it was cute.
That's awesome.
I don't remember the exact language, but I thought the response was very cute. But this particular author started at Magic Kingdom, went on Winnie the Pooh, Peter Pan, It's a Small World, then hopped over to Epcot where they did the Seasoned Nimona in
France. You can
jump. Imagination.
That helps a lot.
They had a quick lunch at Lotus Blossom Cafe, enjoyed Grand Fiesta, had a little snack at Norway Bakery, and then they headed over to Disney's Animal
they
Kingdom.
They didn't put the name of the Norway Bakery in there because that is the weirdest name of
well,
any place.
It's defined.
Well, why did they go from China to Mexico to Norway?
Well, I suspect that they actually had the bakery on the way to Grand Fiesta.
Gotcha.
And then they went to Animal Kingdom where they experienced Tough to Be a Bug, the Festival of the Lion King, Triceratops Spin, and then they left and went to Disney's Hollywood Studios for Muppet Vision 3D, Little Mermaid, and Playhouse Disney. So they did hit three attractions in four parks in one day.
You know what Indy would say?
Not bad for tourists.
Awesome.
But here's my question. First of all, they didn't seem to take advantage of the fact that, you know, certain parks are open longer than others and this type of thing. Because they were doing it with little kids, so they didn't want to, you know, do it like pedal to the metal, opening to close. So what I would like to find out from all of you listening, and maybe we'll talk about it next week and kind of throw our thoughts into the ring too, is if you knew a family was coming here for one day and they were going to do it pedal to the metal, you know, park open to park close, so they could stay, you know, really late at Magic Kingdom if it had longer hours or whatnot. What three key attractions would you recommend that they do in each park? At least three. If you want to say more, but don't forget you've got only one day to do this. So Magic Kingdom, Disney's Animal Kingdom, Epcot, and Disney's Hollywood Studios. And one of those parks, you have to have an entertainment option such as a parade or fireworks. Pick one. So four parks in one day with either a parade experience or a firework experience. And what we want to try and do is from your suggestions and then put together with what we come up with, maybe come up with a little list, and then the four of us will go out and see if it can actually be done.
It can't be done.
So it would be fun.
It can be done. I've been to six Disney theme parks in one day.
Don't you tell me what I can't do.
Because you used to... You used
no,
to
I'm telling you what you can do.
You used to... I remember Jimmy used to do Disneyland in a day.
Myself and my good buddy Indigo over at the Disney blog long ago decided we wanted to do all of Disneyland, including, if I recall correctly, the parades and shows in one day. And we set out and we did it, and it was fun. And I couldn't do it today because I'm not in as good a shape now as I was back then.
But I think it'd be a fun thing to try.
So in sending this list, they need to keep in, correct me if I'm wrong, they need to keep in mind that we're trying to do it all in one day. So
exactly.
We can't be the three, you know, Soren can't be on that list, basically.
Can I provide a tip?
But you can put
unless
Soren,
you put Soren if
as
you go
the first
Epcot
thing
first
in the morning.
Thing.
Exactly.
Right.
So take that into consideration when you provide your suggestions, and we'll work on it too.
And remember, popularity is not necessarily related to capacity. You can have a very popular, high-capacity attraction that has a lower weight than a not popular.
But for me, when I look at the list of attractions that he experienced
at each theme park, I don't know that he necessarily caught the best flavor of each theme park with his choices. Example, you know, Triceratops going to Disney's Animal Kingdom and not doing the safari.
Right.
Just doesn't seem to me to be, you know, capturing the essence of the park.
But,
so,
you
so
know, what time did he go?
Because
the safari closes early.
Oh, totally. Exactly. I do not know what time he finally made it over there. Early enough to catch at least a Festival of the Lion King. So
send it in, podcast@11place.com. We would like to hear.
Go ahead. I just wanted to confess that I'm still a stupid guest. When I leave the Magic Kingdom and I go out the exit to the left, I've done this 3 times now. You know how you're exiting Magic Kingdom, you go out of the train station, and you can either exit out the turnstiles to the left, which are closer to the ferry, or exit out the turnstiles to the right, which is closer to the monorail. Okay? Well, I typically, when Doobie and I are together, we go out to the right. For whatever reason, when I'm at the theme park alone, I tend to exit out the turnstiles to the left. And then, rather than crossing over to the right and getting on the TTC monorail, I exit out the center where there's this big sign that says exit right by the security guard. I exit out there, walk 3/4 of the way down, get to where those topiaries are underneath the monorail beam, and realize, wait, I need to get on the resort. I need to get on the TTC monorail. So what does that mean? Bag check. Now I have to go through the bag check in order to get on the TTC monorail in order to get back to my car. I've done this 3 times now.
You've got no one to blame
I'm
but yourself.
I'm hoping by confessing this to the world, I will not make this mistake again.
That's awesome. So we've been talking a lot about Indiana Jones today.
And a variety of things, really.
Which I care not much about, except for its Disney connection, specifically the Indiana Jones Adventure at Disneyland, which I rode for the very first time on July 17th, 1995. I became an AP in May and decided the line was too long, so I didn't finally get on it until about 1 a.m. on Disneyland's birthday.
Did you have the card and you tried to read everything?
I decoded. It was fine.
All right.
I thought the ride was a little overrated.
You didn't push the pole, though, did you?
You know I did. I even pulled the rope.
And the Roman. And the Austrian.
Let the Russian alone, though. This was before, you know, detente and everything. I thought the ride was overrated. It's grown on me since, but anyway, that's not the point.
You know what your problem is?
Shut up. But what I remember about that
day... You're in the cavern of bubbling death, and you go, overrated?
Honestly, even to this day, I mean, it's grown on me, and fine. It's a spectacular attraction, I guess, but it's nowhere near my list of personal favorites.
Well,
nowhere near.
I think, made it appear far more than it was, too.
Well, you know what? I wasn't a Disney fan until May, and by then, so I don't even remember any commercials, and by then, all I knew was what people were telling me when I was at the park, all the fans and stuff.
I'm just going to set the record straight, and I'm going to say that you are absolutely crazy.
Yeah. I've been called worse. What can I say? It's not my favorite.
That's why you're...
Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
It's endearing.
I'll take that as a compliment.
I like it now that it has Fast Pass.
But anyway, what I most remember
about that day, having to be in that cave waiting by
the time I got to the ride, my palms were all sweaty and whatnot. Now Fast Pass, it's okay.
The queue was cool. I enjoyed the queue.
Just move on. This is going to just make me
mad. It's a fun ride. It's just what... Anyway.
Name 5 attractions in Disneyland that are better.
In Disneyland that are better?
Yes.
Casey Jr., Space Mountain, Matterhorn, Splash Mountain, Star Tours.
No. Okay, move on.
Omnibus?
No.
Are you serious?
What more?
No, wait. By better, you would wait in a longer line to go on the Omnibus than you would for Indiana
Jones. No, I'm not going to define better that
way.
I'm going to say if I were to list my personal favorite Disneyland attractions in order.
Well, isn't part of the reason why the Omnibus is your favorite is because of instant access?
No, it's because you get a nice second story view as you go down the street.
Oh, yeah, you're Mr. Second Story.
Tiki Room I'd put above Indiana Jones.
Yeah, okay.
which is on the first story. Do you like the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse because you know because Tarzan's treehouse.
The second floor is my limit.
He's
afraid
of heights. Second story good. Third story
and
bad.
It's Tarzan's treehouse anyway. I keep on forgetting.
You are just. What's your point here, Doobie? We got a movie to go see.
That's where I started this. July 17th, 1955, 40 years of adventure. Randy Travis on top of the Matterhorn and Indiana Jones.
Oh, that was so cool.
I don't know what he was sliding down because I know Tinkerbell just flies from the Matterhorn, right. But somehow Indiana Jones came from the Matterhorn and slid down towards the castle and into some mattress over by Dick Lender. So
that was so cool.
That was cool.
You know, for when they reopen the attraction after a treehab, they're going to do it again, and he's going to like fall down and come back up.
And we were like 10 feet away from each other on that day and didn't know each other, didn't meet that day. But when we look at pictures, our pictures are from perspective about 10 feet away from each other.
Who I do remember seeing that day is Walt Disney. And then later on, I found out it was just Roy.
Roy E. Yeah, but I remember.
Back then, I'm like.
I remember that moment. That's
I guess
pretty
he was frozen after all.
I remember that moment. That's pretty creepy.
So anyway, hope you all enjoy Indiana Jones. We'll let you know what we think. And until then, next week.